Okay, so I'll be talking about tachyon condensation in the D0-D4 system, and it's based on some recent work which I have done. So late last year, during the course of this year, the tachyon and the bosonic string, open string theory has been understood better. So what happens is there exists a stationary point in the tachyon potential, and this has been shown by computation in open string field theory of Witten earlier on by Kostolitsky and Samuel, and then by Sen and Zweibach. So they found a minimum in the tachyon potential, and if the open string tachyon represents the decay of the D25 brain, then the minimum of the tachyon potential should cancel the tension of the D25 brain. So in level truncation, this has been shown to 99.91% accuracy, and similar calculations have been performed for unstable D brains, which was discovered by Sen in superstring theory and DD bar systems in superstring field theory. So this also gives results consistent with such similar equation in which the minimum of the tachyon potential cancels the tension of the D brain. So in this case, I think level 4 has been reached with 89% accuracy. So there are tachyons in other systems too. There is a tachyon in D0-D2 system, and as well as a D0-D4 system in B field. Now, these tachyons signal instabilities to form bound states of the system. That is the D0 brain going into the D4 brain. Then there should be a similar kind of equation for these systems. So the equation can be understood by just a reinterpretation of the previous equation. So there we had the minimum of the tachyon potential cancelling the tension of the D brain, but if you take it to the other side, it becomes negative, the tension of the D brain, and that's like the mass defect of the initial state and the final state. So the initial state has mass of the D brain, and the final state has no D brain. So that's like the mass defect. So here in these systems, in which they found bound states, so the minimum of the tachyon potential should be the mass defect. So the question is, can one perform a similar calculation in string field theory for such systems? So then there's another motivation to study such systems. The tachyon for the unstable D brains and the DD bar systems are universal. There is no tuning parameter in this tachyon potential, except for a pre-factor outside, and everything is calculated in level truncation. So these systems, at least the D0-D4 system with the B field, has a tuning parameter, the magnetic field, and one can compare level truncations against this magnetic field, against the change of this B field. So that's another motivation to study the system. And so in this system also, the DD bar system arises as a limit of the D0-D4 system. We'll see that. And with this motivation, I'll talk on the study of the tachyon potential in this D0-D4 system. So, brief out.
How do you approach DD bar string for D0-D4?
We'll see the way it is. So the brief contents, I'll just briefly review the first quantized string theory. It just introduced the field content and the quantum numbers. And then I will review the superstring field theory, which is what I use for the calculation of the tachyon potential of Berkowitz. And then we'll study, to set up the tachyon potential for the D0-D4 system, we'll just study the tachyon potential for the DD bar system first. And then we'll go on ahead to discuss the tachyon potential for the D0-D4 system. And finally, I'll have a small statement to make about fluctuations about the tachyon condensate. And then we'll conclude. So I guess this is very familiar to everyone. for first contact superstring theory. So we have two kinds of fields, the matter and the ghost. And the matter is a conformal field theory with central charge 15, and the ghost is a conformal field theory with central charge minus 15. And in the free theory, we can just the matter can be talked about by taken care of by 10 bosons and 10 fermions. I mean, x which runs from 0 to 9. And the ghosts, there are two kinds of ghosts, the fermionic and the bosonic. And so they are the DC ghosts, they are the fermionic, the reparameterization invariant ghosts. And then there's the beta gamma ghosts, which is partners of that. And one can bosonize the also the beta gamma ghosts with a bosonic field phi and a fermionic field zeta, so that because e to the power minus phi is like a fermion all the time. So, and then there's a zeta eta fermionic ghost which can be used to bosonize them. So some of the properties of these ghosts, perhaps the important thing to remember, I think, is the C ghost comes with a weight minus 1. Okay, and maybe the e to the power minus phi comes with the weight half. And the zeta ghost comes with the weight 0. I guess it's an important property to remember. Now, the problem in fermionic, I mean, problem or the thing in fermionic string theory is that each, there's a notion of picture. Each vertex operators come in definite picture. So, for instance, I have written down here, the Navier-Schwarz vertex operator with in pitch of minus 1. You know, they come with the ghost C. Okay, this is just to denote the dz integration and e to the power minus phi, and v. And v is a dimension half, which is constructed entirely from the matter sector. For instance, the tachyon is of this form. Okay, and where k squared by 2 is half, just for the fact that it's dimension half. And you know, there is other representation of the same vertex operator in other pictures too. So I have written here the vector boson. Okay. Basically here there is a fermionic field psi, and it is massless, so k squared by 2 is 0. So the Ramon sector comes with pitch of half. I mean, here I've written the picture minus half, and you know they have this half integer molding in the beta gamma ghost. So generally they have half integer pictures. So e to the power minus phi by 2, and this is a phi by 2 kind of spin operator constructed out of W, and the W is a phi by 2 spin operator constructed out of the matter sector. So with this much of first contact string theory, I think we can sort of go over to the Berkowitz superstring theory. So he has written down the action. Okay, perhaps it's a little complicated, but I'll explain it. So then the string field comes as exponentials, okay, with two kinds of BRST kind of operator, the eta naught and the QB. QB is the BRST operator for superstring theory. And then there is this interaction term, e to the power minus, I mean, there's an interaction term. Now, the rules are,
In your opinion, do you think the Berkowitz superstring field theory has a claim to uniqueness, or is it a formulation of superstring field theory, or?
Well, there's a Witten's formulation of superstring theory,
right,
but I think, the gauge invariant, it has problems with gauge invariants, I think. So, for instance, one of the ways, one of the motivations for writing Berkowitz's string theory is that if you restrict the conformal field theory to an n equals 2, free n equals 2 conformal field theory, n equals 2 CFT, that is the self-dual string, that means basically four bosons, this is actually n equals 4. There's a hidden n equals 4 in this. Okay. If you restrict this phi to be this, the string field to be of this this conformal field theory, then the string field action reproduces the self-dual Yang-Mills action. I mean, so Yang-Mills action in four dimensions. So, but self-dual, so impose self-duality. Sigma. Then you can write this action for this in terms of a single scalar field, actually. So basically, I mean, you can write this, you can remove the degeneracy and you can write it in terms of single scalar field. And this action reproduces the action for that. So, I mean, I don't know whether it's that unique or...
This is another feature of this action.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's a related question. So which string theory is this supposed to be the action for?
This superstring theory. I mean, type 2A. I mean, you have to impose the correct GSO projection for that. And okay, I'll define the things here a little bit more carefully.
This only works for one circuit.
Yeah, it works just for the Raman sector. I'll come to that. It just works just for the Raman sector. Sorry, the Neural Short sector. It doesn't work for the Raman sector. Yeah. So because, for instance, one of the restrictions is it is pitcher 0 and ghost number 0. I mean, Raman sector comes in ghost number generally half integers. So, you know, it just removes the Raman sector.
Oh, this is not related to Green Schwartz. I mean, it's really Raman Schwartz.
Yeah, Raman removes Schwartz. Yeah, that's right. So, and the phi should be Grassmann even, and all products in this are star products. Okay, I'll show how to take star products of a lot of operators. So all products are star products. Yeah. Now let's just get a feel of this thing. So let's look at the linearized version, absolutely linearized version of this. That means, you know, reject all the higher order terms and just keep phi. QB eta naught phi in the thing, and see if I get actually the BRST, you know, the physical state condition, which is what one should get. So so the equation of motion is just QB eta naught phi is equal to zero. Now the BRST condition is like QB V is equal to zero. So this must be the physical operator, physical vertex operator. So eta naught phi is the vertex operator of this. Now, okay, here's the vertex operator. So phi is, you know, you can invert it because of the eta xi commutation relation. So phi is eta naught v. Then, so this is actually, so, you know, I'm trying to tell something more. This is the relation between n equals 2 critical superstring and n equals 1 and n equals 2 critical string vertex operators. I mean, there's an embedding of n equals 1 critical superstring and n equals 2 critical superstring, and the vertex operator relations work out this way. And this is actually written in n equals 2 form. I mean, the string field phi is actually written in n equals 2 vertex operator form. So, therefore, we introduce a xi in all our vertex operators, a zeta, okay, zeta. So, so the vector operator for the boson is, you know, with the same vertex operator which I have written with a z inside, and this is ghost number zero, pitcher, and Grassmann even. But if you take the tachyon, for instance, okay, which I have written, and put a xi, it's Grassmann odd. So this can be rectified. Okay, I'll say how it was rectified by. So now the gauge invariance, for instance, this is the equation for motion QB, is just the linearized one is QB omega. Since there are two kinds of BRST kind of charge, there's another gauge parameter omega naught prime. And for instance, it is easy to check that the equation of motion. Invariant under this gauge transformation by just using these relations. I mean, you can commute them and take. I mean, if you take delta phi to be of this form, it kills it kills this change in the field. So the nonlinear gauge invariance is actually of this. It's just generalized to this. Okay, So now the star products. Okay, I'll define the star product. Okay. In Witten's string theory, there's only there's a cubic vertex. So here it is just generalized to n of them because there's an exponential of the string field. So it's simple generalization. In Witten's cubic thing, you basically paste three copies. Three copies of the string. Here you have to paste n of them. So the way to do that is by conformal transformations. And for instance, if you have a conformal transformation like this, a fractional linear transformation like this, which maps the disk to the left half of the plane, and then if you take the 2 by nth power of it, it just compresses to pi by n, and then you can actually rotate it by the phases and fill up the entire plane. So this is a similar generalization of the cubic vertex. So this is the way the star product is defined here. So, okay, now with this much, let's understand this tachyon potential for the DD bar system. So the DD bar system has various fields. Let's take the D brain and anti-D brain. The strings which join the D brain among itself are actually in the GSO plus sector, and the strings which connect the D brain and the anti-D brain are in the GSO minus sector. Now we saw that the tachyon is in the GSO minus sector and it's Grassmann-Ord. So to incorporate this, the string field is expanded. Actually, is extended.
So you're not trying to describe the D brain as a solution of the other theory, right? No. You're just going to set up another open string theory for a background which has the D
brain. Anti-D brain. That's right. So then the string field is extended and expanded in various. To incorporate the fact that it is Grassmann-Ord, you basically include some internal Chan pattern factors. Okay, so the string field with plus signs are the Grassmann even objects, and the string field with minus ones are the Grassmann odd objects. And you put a sigma one, an internal Chan pattern factors. Sigma 1, which sort of anti-commutes with sigma 3, which sort of takes care, I mean, at least roughly in this thing, you can see that it takes care of the fact that it should be Grassmann odd. And there is also the usual Chan pattern factors for the string field for the DD brain system. And the BRST charge and this other BRST charge, eta naught, is also generalized with sigma 3. Now,
what is the sign?
What is the
sign?
Sorry? What is the
sign also?
Sorry, I didn't hear. What is that?
I don't understand why you introduce extra Chan pattern factors. Is it just to represent the amount of sign?
No, for instance, this the algebraic structure of the string field theory action demands that phi should be a Grassmann odd, a Grassmann even. For instance, there is an anti-commutator in the string field action, right? Here, and there are cyclic properties of these vertices also. So to incorporate those algebraic structures, so you need to introduce such things. And it works. I mean, once you introduce this.
Is this Chan pattern factor just, it's the identity when it's on all the only D brains or only anti D brains, the single one, so on. So it basically just, in the space of Chan pattern factors, it's the one that connects
the two of them. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So now the tachyon is actually with the xi c e to the power minus pi, and this is the one which connects the connects the D brain and a D brain, and this is the internal Chan pattern factors. So there's a gauge fixing. So this is the usual gauge fixing in bosonic string theory. And then there is, because of the other gauge parameter, there's another gauge fixing. fixing choice which fixes that slice. So with this, so one would think from the string field theory action, since it's infinite, it's a number of infinite set of terms, one would think that you would need infinite set of terms to evaluate this tachyon potential. But because of the Gauss, actually it truncates, the thing stops at a certain point. In fact, just for the tachyon, it stops at the quartic order. Basically, for instance, the C Gauss should come only with three factors. There should be three extra C Gauss to saturate, to give the non-zero correlation function. So you have this, so I have expanded the action to the quartic order, and...
So where it stops depends on which field you're looking at, right?
Where it stops deals with, which fields you're looking at. So for this tachyon, it stops at the quartic order. So there's a BRST charge, this is the BRST charge I've written up, and a calculation for the quartic term would just involve inserting this field inside the action, evaluating the appropriate star products and obtaining the potential. So just a brief outline about the quadratic term. Suppose I ignore the Chan pattern factors, this is the quartic term. There's this conformal transformation with action of QB and eta naught. So since these are weight half, the tachyon is a weight minus half. And so the conformal, and it's a primary. And the conformal transformation are just F1 prime and F2 prime minus half. You can evaluate the QB on this operator by just taking the poles, single poles, of these, the action of QB on this. So these are just simple evaluations of this tachyon potential. And with all the Chan pattern factors and everything, so you have to take double traces over the double Chan pattern factors. The quartic term turns out to be T squared by 2. Cubic term vanishes. And the quadratic term turns out to be T squared, and the quartic term T2 over minus 4. And you can minimize this.
Was the vanishing of the cubic term a consequence of the symmetry?
Yeah, so if you look at the Chan pattern factors and you just take the traces, it just vanishes in this case. So if you look at the V minimum of this thing, you just minimize the tachyon potential. And compare it to the mass defect. So the mass defect is minus twice the mass of the D-brain in this case. And if you actually compare it, it gives 62% of the mass defect. And calculations have gone to the fourth level, which gives 89%. So just before we go on to the D0, D4 system, I just want to show the tachyon potential in this case is universal. So let's see for just the bosonic string field theory. It's easy to just generalize it. So the argument is due to Stem. So you divide the Hilbert space into two parts, H1 and H2. So H1 has all the states with the Gauss and the matter stress energy tensor. They are derivatives and all. And H2 has states which are created by a matter primary. There's a matter primary, then there's a Gauss, there are Gauss and the derivatives. Now, the property of this is that correlation functions involving one H2 and two H1s vanish. Okay. So if such a thing happens, then if you look at equations of motion, you can solve the equations of motion by setting H2 to zero in this case. Because such terms don't occur in the equations of motion, so you can solve the equation of motion by setting H2 to be zero. The solutions to equations of motion, that is the tachyon potential, depends only on H1. And H1 contains just the ghost and the stress energy tensor. And their correlation functions are universal. So, you know, so the Taxman potential is universal up to overall multiplicative constant. And so a similar argument can be just generalized for the superstring. You just have to introduce the beta gamma ghost, the conformal, I mean, the supersymmetric stress tensor and things. So you can generalize it for the superstring. So we learned, we have just looked at on the Taxman potential for the anti-digital system and seen that, you know, it's supposed to be universal. And so now we will actually study the digital default system.
Did the calculation you just went through apply to D-brains of all dimensions?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's just you compactify all the other dimensions. I mean, when I wrote the mass of the D brain, for instance, I just wrote it as like a D0 brain mass. I mean, you just compactify the other one by on circles of 2 pi root alpha prime. So that's very easy. Okay, so the D0 D4 system with the V field. Now, so this is my configuration here. So the D0 brains are dirichlet in all directions, and the D4 brain are extended in the 6, 7, 8, 9 directions. And you introduce a constant B field along the spatial directions of the D4 brain. Okay, so the B field in general can be chosen to be this form. Actually, it's a maximally ranked B minus B and B prime minus B. And the tachyon is actually in the string, which is joining the 0 and 4 brains. Okay. And the boundary conditions for these 0, 4 strings are, they are Dirichlet at the 0 brain, and they are sort of twisted because of the B field on the 4 brain directions. Okay. So this leads to, fractional modes for the bosons and as well as for the fermions. So I've just written the mode expansions. I mean, it's easy to write it for complexified objects. I'm actually taking world sheets to be Euclidean. So it's easy to define modes for these complexified quantities. And the modes have this fractionalization because of the B field. And they are related to the B field by this form. So they're similar for the prime coordinates. So there's x6, x7, and x8, and x9. So there's a similar quantization condition for the prime coordinates. This is the superpartners in the Navier-Schwarz sector, and they also have similar fractionalization. So this is what is important to remember, the fact that they're fractionalized. So the tachyon can be easily seen by just looking at the zero-point energy in the Navier-Schwarz sector. and I've just written the lowest energy and the first excited state because they can interchange depending on this condition. So these are actually JSO retained. And so there is this is the zero-point energy, which is negative if this nu plus nu prime, which is related to the B field, is less than zero. And this is the first excited state. And they interchange when the nu plus nu prime is greater or lesser than zero. So the mass is just zero point energy by 2 pi alpha prime. Now this is related to the D0 bar system in this manner. If you actually look at the mode expansions and you look at these limits, like B going to minus infinity or together B going to minus and B prime going to minus infinity or B going to plus infinity or B prime going to plus infinity, then these nus in that formula turn out to be 0 or 1. It's reduced to integer moding again. And actually, they become Dirichlet. So the boundary conditions become Dirichlet. And so another way to see it is what happens is the induced charge. So it's Dirichlet. So you cannot say it's a D-brain, it's a D-brain, anti-D-brain. But the induced charge on the D4 brain is from such a term in this action, the Dirac Monopole action, for instance, is B, B prime. Okay, it's the Puffian of this matrix, of this B matrix, and it's minus B, B prime. So it's like a, so the default brain effectively functions as like an anti-D brain. And if you look at the zero point energies, it reduces to minus half. So it's a tachyon. So this is the tachyon of the D0 bar system. And so the B field is just sort of deforming this tachyon.
Yeah, so if you flip the sign of one of the Bs, then?
Yeah, then also there's a tachyon. There's a tachyon, but it is not the D0 D bar system, because the induced charge is not D0 brain inside.
So D0 is no tachyon if you think the sign of one B.
Yeah.
So it does not normal tachyon.
But it depends on the B field. Like here I'm taking strictly to infinity. So, but if there is something, you know, close to infinity, I'll show you a little later how the flip of signs when V going to infinity and minus infinity, the tachyon masses go. Actually, the tachyon masses go is like 1 over D. So, you have to see, I'll show you that. So
in that case, the other zero brain turns into a zero brain. But in all these cases, isn't there also sort of an effect of two-brain charge? So isn't it possible that in some sense the tachyon is from the 0-2 interaction? I'm just going to think about your statement that the tachyon is the 0-0 bar system.
If it's large, then the D0 probably dominates.
Right, you can flip the sign,
yeah,
and then it will be D0, D0.
Yeah. There's still a tachyon.
Okay, the nature of the tachyon changes.
Yeah, the nature of the tachyon changes.
Okay, so there really might be D0, yeah, too, whereas in this case
The tachyon masses and all change. And so I'll study both the cases. And so I want to evaluate now the tachyon potential for the 0 for strength. So let's, if this is without loss of generality, you can just take mu plus mu prime is less than half. So the first operator, zero point energy which I wrote down is the one. And the tachyon operator, vertex operator is of this form. So I'll explain these terms. So this is the usual one, xi c e to the power minus phi. And then in the usual tachyon vertex operator, there was just these Chan pattern factors attached to that. But here, because you want to change the boundary conditions, that introduced some operators called twist operators. Okay, so I'll explain this. Okay, and the internal Chan pattern factors are the same. The external Chan pattern factors change with one in the upper half, and the anti-twist operator comes with one in the bottom half, and. So let me just write down the twist operators. The twist operators, so these are fermionic twist operators. H is related to the bosonization of the psi 1 and psi 6 and psi 9, say for instance. So H is psi 6 plus I psi 7 is e to the power I H. So these are the bosonized, H is related to the bosonization of these fermionic fields, and this gives the fractional moding for the bosonized for the fermions, and this is a bosonic twist operator, okay, which changes the boundary conditions for the bosons. So the insertion of such operators changes the boundary conditions from starting from D0 brain to the anti to the D4 brain. It changes so that the string has the appropriate boundary conditions, and the anti twist operators works the other way. So this is why, for instance, the sigma plus comes with one kind of twist operators, which is the string connecting from, say, the D0 brain to the D4 brain, and that sigma minus, these anti-twist operators come with the other one, so the string connecting the opposite orientation. Now, so again, you can see that for nu is equal to nu, for 0, if I put just nu and nu prime to be 0, it reduces to the usual tachyon. So So if you look at the dimensions, the twist operators basically have, you know, if you have, the twist operators have dimensions nu by 2, sigma nu has dimension nu by 2, and if you look at the dimensions, they have the right dimensions to be the tachyon zero point energy. Now, I just wrote for completeness, because the first excited state and the tachyon exchange each other when you change nu, the first excited state's operator. Now you plug this string field. So I'm doing just to the tachyon level. So you plug the string field in the, you know, in the Lakovitz string field theory action, and you get this tachyon potential. And so maybe, so the hard part, this is basically the dimension of the of these operators. The hard part is the four-point functions. And the four-point functions are basically hypergeometric functions, which depends on these moding. And I'll just outline how these, these are the four-point functions. Hypergeometric functions come about just in two functions. So, for instance, consider these correlators. And the four-point functions come from basically from these kind of correlators. And the non-trivial part, the fermionic part is easy to evaluate. So the non-trivial part is basically the bosonic twist operators. And there is, there's a prescription to evaluate this. You basically look at auxiliary correlators, okay, which are like stress energy tensor, but, you know, at two different points. And there's another auxiliary correlator, so with the bar of this. Okay, you look at these auxiliary correlators, and these can be fixed up to some constants by singularity structures because of the molding of introduced by these twist operators. Now, and since there is a z and z bar, the integral along dz and dz bar along certain contours should be zero. I mean, these are the monotonic conditions. So, for instance, I said introducing a twist operator here. This is like the D4 brain. This is anti-twist actually, because the first is anti-twist at z1. So this is like the D4 brain, and this is the D0 brain. And if you integrate your string from the D0 brain to a D0 brain, there should be no change in the delta x. So this is how the monotony conditions come about, and there are actually two equivalent contours, and you can fix for instance g of z and h of z by these conditions, singularity structure plus monotony. And then g of x z is related close to stress energy tensor by just taking z going to omega and removing the pole, and then using the OPE of the stress energy tensor with sigma nu, which is this, you can set up a differential equation for sigma nu, for this whole correlator actually. Okay. So that's how, and when you solve these differential equations, you get this hypergeometric function. So here I have written down at a generic, by using SL2 R, you can choose it at generic points like 0, x, and 1, infinity. And this is the hypergeometric function comes, and x is the cross ratio. And this is the general case. You can do an SL2R back again, and you can get a general case like this. So that's how the various hypergeometric functions come about. And so now the minimum of the tachyon potential is just, you minimize them, and there's some expression, and so you have the minimum of the tachyon potentials. Mm-hmm. Now, you want to compare this with the mass defect in the formation of the D0, D4 system, in the formation of the bound state. So I write down how to find the mass defect. So the mass of the D0 brain is simple in these units, 1 by 2 pi squared g squared. Now, the mass of the D4 brain with the B field is come, you know, this can be seen from the Dirac Bonnefeld action. So this is a determinant of G plus B introduces this factor 1 plus B squared 1 plus B prime squared in the mass. So it's 1 by 2 pi squared. Now, the mass of the D0 brain combined with the D4 brain is a little complicated, but there is a formula for that. So this is the formula for that. I mean, actually, you can check that it reduces to the simple mass, to the Dirac Bonnet cell mass for the D4 brain if I put Q0 is equal to 0, simply. And this is roughly, you can see this by the fact that, you know, this is like the D3 brain charge induced. So, and this is like the D0, D4 system mass. So, or the D0, I mean, this is, they add linearly, actually. And if you have, you know, brains which differ by half and by two in their dimensions, I mean, their charges have to be squared. So this is how it comes about, that this is the charge of the D0, D4 system. Now, so now delta M can be computed. So I compare this mass defect with the minimum of the tachyon potential for three cases. So let's take the B field to be very small. So the tachyon is almost massless now. Okay. So, and if you do that, you get the same form, and this is square, this is a good part of it. The functional form comes out to be the same, and it gives about 70%. And case two, where you actually go to the D0 bar limit, okay? So everything reduces to the fact that, I mean, even the delta M reduces to the fact it's like two times the mass of the D0 brain, and the V minimum reduces to the previous calculation and gives 62%. Now, case three is the other limit, in which you actually go to, you know, Puffin of this 2 pi B is negative, in which you take one of the B field to be infinity and one of the field to be negative infinity, and it actually gives 25%. So it drops considerably for this case. So we would like to, at least heuristically understand this part, and I'll have some statements to make about this thing. So this reduces to the whole system again.
But the functional form in terms of B is the same in all cases.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Functional form is the same. But that can actually be, you know, if you are skeptical about it, you can justly roughly argue about that from the mass. I mean, the mass of the D brain and the mass of the tachyon should be roughly the, and when you minimize these tachyon potentials, but it's not very clear, but I'm just saying roughly because the, you know.
You're saying that one could have expected this before doing any calculations?
Looks like, actually. That's my feeling. Because, you know, because the mass of the V minimum roughly goes as mass squared. Mm-hmm. Mass squared. Now, you just by calculating the mass of the tachyon, you know, this you can arrive at these things, but the delta M to go as this is a little harder maybe, but V minimum certainly is easy to see that. Delta M also should go because it's the only scales which are possibly involved. I don't have them. So, but it certainly works out if you do the calculation that it comes out to be this thing, and here you see the nature. 1 by B prime. Here there's no functional dependence of B. So here is the leading orders of B. Mm-hmm. Okay. So graphically, if you plot the V minimum and delta M, one can see that V minimum is always less than delta M. I mean, you take the full function and plot it, V minimum versus delta M. So you always find that V minimum is less than delta M, which is expected. And the equality is just mu prime is equal to 1 when the tachyon mass is 0. So the best I could see, at least just graphically, it looks like it's 70%. I mean, I couldn't go beyond that, actually. It's 70%. So now let's see the analysis for case 3. Okay. So in case 3, 35% seems to be low. So what happens is that in this case, there's a large number of low-lying states in this limit. Okay, basically states created by these oscillator alpha minus mu n on the tachyonic vacuum. Okay, just this. And the masses squared of this goes n by b. I mean, this b actually kills the string length. I mean, it kills the, makes the masses low-lying. Okay, because b is going to infinity. So these are low-lying levels, and the level truncation actually ignores this. Ignores the fact there are very low-lying states in this. And we're just dealing with just the zeroth one. I'm just taking the lowest one. And this could be one of the reasons why the approximation gets worse.
I'm so confused. What do you mean that level truncation ignores this? You mean just truncating to the tachyon?
Tachyon, yes, oh. Yeah. Sorry.
So the principle.
Yeah, yeah, could, yeah, yeah, that's right. Just my calculation, sorry. Okay. So then, okay, so maybe I should mention here, so there's this paper today, I think, of Aganijik, Meenwala, and Strominger, and Gopakumar, in which they studied the system in the purely in the non-commutative gauge theory limit, in which they can account for all these states, actually. Yeah. And they get, in this limit, they get, the instead of 25%, they get 100% tension defect, actually, in this case, actually. So that's what...
They account for the existence of
No, they took the field theory, but they actually just constructed the unstable soliton, unstable soliton which represents the zero brain, and they calculated the tension of that, tension of the bound state, and in this limit, it worked out to be done.
And the non-commutative limit, is that just large B or something?
Yeah, this is the large B limit. Actually.
But that you've already. That's different from the limit you just talked about. From
I took the same limit, but I also kept level truncation. Mm-hmm. I also did level truncation. I mean, I just kept the tachyon. I didn't take the low lying states actually. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So case one, which I'm thinking of studying, case one. Perhaps might be a good situation to study tachyon condensation just from conformal field theory point of view. So this there was this work by Harvey Kudasov and Martinek, in which they understood the tachyon condensation by adding the tachyon as a relevant perturbation and to a conformal field theory, and the conformal field theory close to a infrared fixed point. And but the thing they could do is that they could understand this by seeing the D25 brain flows to actually D24 brain. It just flows to a lower dimensional brain. They couldn't show that it actually go, and they couldn't get the flow to the vacuum on this way. But in this case, there's some good points to it. The tachyon is almost marginal. It's almost massless, so it's marginal. So I can do conformal perturbation theory in this thing. And the tension of this thing can be computed in conformal perturbation theory. And one can see if the decrease in tension is, it gives the mass defect in this case, actually. So, and in this case also, it looks like when you perturb it by this operator, it flows to the bound state, not to the vacuum. The reason I'm just saying it is because of charge conservation. There's no other reason, I think. So, it could flow to the bound state, and one can have a good means of studying this in conformal field theory. So now a brief word about fluctuations about this tachyon condensate. So now the bound state of the D0 brain in the D4 brain is actually an instant term of the D4 brain gauge theory. And in this case 2 and 3, where I take a very large B limit, it should be the instanton of the non-commutative U1 gauge theory. Now, so from this fact, that you can actually just, this is a simple thing, to understand that the 0-4 strings decouple from the low energy dynamics. So low energy dynamics in the background of this instanton is just given by the moduli space of this instanton. And the moduli space for these cases, actually there are some set of algebraic equations one can solve to determine the moduli space. And they're very simple in this case. These are basically the D terms of the D1 brain gauge theory. And so they are given by these two equations, and you have to mod out by the U1 of the gauge theory. And if you do that, the solution is just D is equal to 0, and A is equal to root 2, and you can actually use the U1 to fix A is equal to root r. And so the U1 instanton in this gauge theory has no moduli space. And other than So other than its positions, the scale is fixed by this thing, other than its positions. And the fluctuations in the zero force strings actually can be related to this fluctuations in the AB moduli, actually. So at least from this simple analysis, one can see that, you know, in the low energy dynamics, the AB moduli are frozen, which is expected because the zero force strings should disappear. And so,
suppose that you have
the
N before 1.
Yeah, the U1 should somehow decouple, I think.
Since
that
this argument won't be valid for
N. No, because the R parameter is U1. The R parameter in this case, the R is U1. U1 valued, I think. This one.
This is from the fit theory, sir. But your strength fit theory argument seems to say that also
strength field theory, I mean, there's no argument yet. And there's no argument, the zero force strength should completely disappear. So, but, so I don't know whether in this case the zero force strength should completely disappear or not also. Okay, so maybe I'll just conclude. So this is one case in which, you know, string field theory, super string field theory has been studied to apply to other open string tachyons, particularly bound states, tachyons which, you know, signal formation of bound states. And the tachyon potential is actually, you know, lies outside the universality class of that of Sen. Now I forgot to mention, the tachyon potential explicitly depends on functions of B, which is outside the universality class of Sen, which does not depend on B. And this, you know, can be easily seen because the tachyon vertex operator contained matter primaries. The tachyon of the D bar systems do not contain matter primaries. These contain matter primaries. And you know, one qualitative result is that the level truncation gets worse when, and worse meaning approximations get worse when levels are closely spaced. I conclude.
So in your case, the tachyon potential involved these hypergeometric functions.
That's right.
So is there a unique minimum of those potentials, or are there several minima?
There are other minima, but this is the minima, I think, of... there are the minima.
How did you pick? Is this what the closest
thing? The closest thing, yeah, which I just took this minima just by minimizing it. But there are other minima. For instance, I said E plus E minus is equal to 0. So there were the excited states. Okay, let me just get the... okay, solve next step. This, I mean, this is the at least for the two minima I checked. This was the minimum from the Western. For instance, there are other terms like these. Two plus E. I could turn. I actually set the excited state to 0. I set the excited state to 0. I could turn on some bit of the excited state and the tachyon. I got a minimum that way, but it didn't. I mean, it was not the absolute minimum. It was not. This was more minimum than that.
You cannot check whether it's supersymmetric.
Whether it's supersymmetric? The supersymmetric transformation laws itself is, I don't know. And the vacuum should be supersymmetric, that's what you're saying. Or even the bound state is supersymmetric, certainly in this case, I mean, I don't know the check this. I mean, there should be maybe fermion Goldstone modes. I mean, maybe there's a way of formulating it. I don't know.